The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what good must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, I have observed all these from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. And Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said to themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands, with persecution and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is a gospel about a man who wanted to purchase heaven. He was a wealthy man, and many of the wealthy are used to just buying what they need. The car breaks down, you pay the man to fix it. The windows need to be replaced, you pay the company to come out and put in the windows. If you need to get to heaven, you just count the cost and get ready to pay it. So he wants to purchase heaven. And he goes to the Lord and he's looking for a deal. He says, "Now, Lord," he says, "what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is the cost? I'm a wealthy man. I'm ready to peel off a few bills and pay it." And so the Lord says, "Well, keep the commandments." And so it is, the man brightens up and says, "Aha! This is well within my means. I'm a decent chap. And I don't beat my wife. I haven't killed anybody. All right? I think I can pull it off. Now, are there any shipping costs? Any taxes? Any shipping and handling?" And the Lord says, "Well, actually there is. Go and sell everything you have and come and follow me." And the man went away sad. Because, brothers and sisters, he had too much to lose. Too much to lose. I want to ponder with you this morning a little bit about wealth. Some wonderings about wealth. Some musings about money. It is a very tragic scene here because this man seems like a decent man. But he really thinks that he's going to be able to kind of pull this off. Just peel off a few bills and pay his way to heaven. And in the end, what does heaven cost? What does it cost you and me? And the answer, everything. Everything. And because we're very attached to the world, we wince. We grab on to what we have. It's hard for us to imagine going and selling all that we have and following Jesus. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. Father, I got bills to pay. I'm trying to put a kid through college. I can't go just give everything away and live on a park bench. It's not even responsible. How can I give everything away and follow Jesus? Well, I got news for you. You're gonna do it. I said you're gonna do it. You're either gonna do it willingly or as a miserly grouch, but you're gonna do it. Everything must go. You're not gonna take any of it with you. All the stuff that you call yours, it's God's. All the things that you have are tainted. Taint yours. They don't belong to you. They've never belonged to you. And you're going to give every single bit of it back before you go to heaven. So what is the cost to go to heaven? Everything. The world. You have to forsake the world. I have to forsake the world in order to go to heaven. And the question is, will we do this lovingly, with understanding, and with serenity? Or will we fight God every step of the way? I want to point out something that this young man missed, but I don't want you to miss it. Before the Lord told him to go and sell everything that he had, he looked at him with love. That's what the text says. It says, Jesus looked at him with love and said, go, sell everything you have. Don't miss that look, church. The Lord looked at you with love this morning. When he said that, he's looking at you with love right now. And with tenderness in his heart, he's telling you and me a hard truth. That everything you think you have, you're going to have to leave, forsake, give up before you go to heaven. And just understand that as you start to give back, the Lord's not hating you. He's not beating up on you. He's helping you to let go. All of us who are starting to edge up a little bit older have already started giving back a lot, haven't we? You see, I can think in my own life, I've given back my grandparents. I've given back my mother. I've given back my father. I've given back my sister. All of you have given back loved ones. We've all had to give back other things. Most of us have given back our slender figure of our 20s. That's gone. I had to give back my tennis game and my racquetball game. Can't play those anymore. My knees just won't take it. I've given back my hair. Some of us, I didn't say myself, have given back our good looks. No, none of us have done that. But brothers and sisters, you see, we start giving back, don't we? Little by little, we're giving back. And will you and will I do that with peace in our heart Or will we be resentful, angry, bitter? The difference is, if you let the Lord look at you with love as he tells you this, because you're going to give it all back. You cannot take any of it with you. There was a man who thought he could take it with him. He said to his wife one day, whom he did not love, he figured, she only married me for my money. And so he said to his wife, I want you to bury my money with me. Now make sure, I've written it in my will. I want that money in my coffin as I go down to the ground. You're not going to get a dollar, not a dime. Bury my money with me. He filed his will with that stipulation in it and made it known to all of his friends. He expected to be buried with his money. And on the day of his funeral, as people walked by the casket, they didn't see the money. And so they said to the wife, didn't he say that you had to bury his money with him? She smiled. She said, I did. You see, I took all of his money and I put it in a checking account. And I wrote him a check, and it's between his fingers. So he took his money with him. No, he didn't, did he? It all goes back. It all goes back. I want to return to that theme at the end of the homily, but I want to talk a little bit about four thoughts about money and wealth based on this gospel. Because again, the Lord is trying to teach us something, some very important things. And the first thing is, who owns who? You and I have possessions. We have things. And we say that I own them. But brothers and sisters, one of the most difficult things for us to appreciate and understand is that if we're not careful, our things, we do not own our things. They end up owning us. You see, this man was very rich in this gospel, but he was not free. Did you hear that? He was rich, but he was not free. He was enslaved to his wealth. And because of that, he couldn't accept what the Lord was saying to him. He wasn't free enough to accept what the Lord was saying. And so he turned away, sad and enslaved, back to his wealth. If we are not careful, our money, our worldly attachments, our things also enslave us. We do not own them, they end up owning us. They call the shots. The richer and the more affluent we become, in many ways, the less free we feel. Many people spend most of their time worrying about their wealth, getting their cars fixed, their houses fixed, their talking to their stockbroker. We're not free to be about the better things of life. The richer and the more affluent we become, the emptier our churches become, the emptier our homes are. We don't sit down for meals together anymore. We find it harder and harder to enjoy the things we have. We're anxious, worried, concerned about many things. Even about non-monetary things. You know, the deacon and I were talking last night about all these anxieties that people have about their health today. And brothers and sisters, we've made it. We've never been so healthy, and we've never been so anxious about our health. Worried about every little thing that comes along, the flu, the latest cancer scares, all of this stuff, all about nutrition and all these things, and we have good health, but we don't enjoy it. We're always worried. Well, I got news for you. If you're over 50, you're on the way out. When you're over 50, things start to fall off and fall apart and stop working. Did you know that life causes death? It's amazing. And I'm not saying have no care for your health. I didn't say that. But don't be so anxious about it. You know, we're all going to die. Don't be irresponsible, but enjoy life a little. We've never lived so long and so healthy, and yet we've never been so anxious about our health. We've never been so affluent. We've never had so much, so many creature comforts. You look back into history. When did they ever have air conditioning and electricity? When did they ever have all these computers and these entertainment centers and all the things that we do? And yet we're all anxious about the economy all the time. Now there are people with real concerns about the economy. People in this parish who are out of work. We really ought to pray and help and work about that. But there's an awful lot of anxiety about the economy. The worst economy in 50 years, we often hear, and no, it's not. We have more than we've ever had. And so it is that instead of owning our things, we end up getting owned by them. Our wealth and our blessings begin to ensnare us with anxieties, with fears, anxious about so many things. And so it is, the first thought I offer you today about wealth is, who owns who? Do you own your things? Or do they own you? Another way of asking the question is, are you really free? Could you easily do without many of your things? Take them or leave them? Enjoy them? Or do they end up owning you and you get anxious and you hoard them and you cling to them and worry about them? Be careful. Wealth, money, creature comforts become very easily a snare that rob us of freedom, that rob us of peace, rob us of serenity. And still, we want to sell our soul to so many of these things. That's the first musing on money, the first wonderment about wealth. Again, this man goes away sad. He had too much to lose. He was no longer free. He was now owned by the things that he claimed to own. Secondly, who are the rich? It is possible for us to read a gospel like this, and the Lord says how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, I got news for you. We have found the rich. They are us. So often what happens to us is that we hear about the rich and we say, oh yeah, those rich people, they're bad. They're not going to make it. And you know what? We define rich as anybody who earns a dollar more an hour than me. But I want to warn you, first of all, church, we live in America. We're on the top of the pile. We're high on the hog. We're eating the center of the meat. The choicer cuts. Even the poor in America live like kings and queens compared to the poor in other parts of the world. Let's be careful. We live very well. We have found the rich. We have found and discovered the rich man, and he is us. So be careful before you sort of say, kind of get smug and say, oh yeah, those rich people, they're having a hard time. They're not going to make it. Careful. The Lord is warning you and me. And you know, the apostles kind of get that in the gospel today. Because when the Lord tells them how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, they get anxious. They know he's talking about them. Church. They had left everything to follow Jesus. They were going from hand to mouth, day to day. But they understood what Jesus was getting at. He wasn't talking about what was in their wallet. He was talking about what was in their heart. And they knew that they wanted to be rich. The Lord is warning them about wealth. Warning them. So, the rich isn't other people. The rich is us. So listen carefully to the warning that the Lord gives today. And don't just get into this kind of class distinction that we love to dabble in. We're all pretty well off. Even if we're on a fixed income, our fixed income is like king and queen status compared to some folks who earn less than $1,000 a year and have barely a cardboard box to live in places like the slums of Jamaica, places in other parts of the third world and so on. Brothers and sisters, we don't really know what poverty is in this country. We live very well. We've got to understand the Lord is talking to us. So don't just say, oh, look how the Lord is dissing those rich people. The rich is us. And then that leads me to the third point. And this brings me to the heart of the sermon. And I hope you'll have a little bit of humor with me in this, because it really is a bugaboo. This idea that we all want to be rich. Now, don't tell me you don't want to be rich. Do not tell me that, because I'm going to think you're lying to me. Don't tell me that you would be sad if you won the lottery. We all want creature comforts. Even if we don't want $100 million, $100,000 would be nice. We all want things of this world. We all want to be rich. Oh, not me, Father. All right. You work it out with God. But what's amazing is how difficult it is to shake it. I mean, brothers and sisters, what I want to try to show you in this next section is how deep this wound is in us. We are very deeply wounded by our desire for riches. It is very hard to shake it. Now, let me just give you some scripture quotes that warn us in the strongest language about the danger of wealth, and this doesn't help a bit. Let me read a few of them to you. First of all, this text. This is from 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter. Those who desire to be rich, that's us, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge us to ruin and destruction. Oh, the love of money is the root of all evils. And through this craving, so many have wandered away from the faith and have pierced their hearts with many anxieties. Brothers and sisters, that wandering away from the faith, look at these empty pews. The more affluent we become, the less spiritual. There's a reverse relationship or inverse relationship between affluence and wealth and religious zeal. Just look at the pews. And this is true in every church throughout this country. The numbers keep dropping. But brothers and sisters, I just read you a text that warns you and me about the danger of wealth. But you still want to be wealthy, don't you? Come on, don't lie to me. We still want it. We hear a text like that, but our heart is just not going to budge. We still want to be wealthy. Another text. This one is from Luke chapter 16. No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You still want to try, don't you? Let me take a stab at it. I'll serve money and I'll serve God. We still want to do it, don't we? Here's another one. This one is from Luke chapter 6. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now. You will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for one day you will mourn and weep. You still want to be rich, don't you? It's not working, is it? Here's another text. Many who are first, that's us. Many who are first will be last. Many who are last will be first. Yeah, right. I still want to be rich. I want my rewards now. And finally, a last warning, the one we had today. How hard it is for the rich to get to heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get to heaven. But we still, after all this, we still want to be rich. It's a deep craving, isn't it? It's a deep drive. What I'm trying to do with you right now, as I'm also doing with myself, is to try to show you and me that we have a very serious problem, a very deep wound, an intractable problem. Sounds like we need a savior. Did you hear me? I said, it sounds like we need a savior. Well, hallelujah, church. We may be sick, but there's a doctor in the house. And Jesus alone can begin to heal this wound in our heart. Jesus alone can begin to help us to become free of this insatiable desire for more. This incredible attachment and clinging we have to the creature comforts of this world. Only the Lord can set us free. And He will do it. He will do it. I'll tell you how in just a moment. But I want to take a moment also and mention something about evangelization in this context. I hope that in the kind of discussion that we had this morning, that you have a few things that maybe you could talk with your family and friends about. Some of the silly ways that we cling to wealth and yet it causes us all this anxiety. Basically, the dissatisfaction. We have it all, but we're still not happy. We're anxious, worried, tired. We have health, but we're anxious about our health. We have money, but we're anxious about the economy. Anxious, anxious, anxious. Talk to people about this. And talk about the deep wound We know we can't take it with us. Tell them the joke about the man who wanted to be buried with his money. Have a discussion with people about this. This is something that we could all relate to. This isn't some exotic discussion about the inner life of the Blessed Trinity. This is about stuff we all know about. We all struggle with this. Talk about the intractable problem that we have to be free of this. And then start to tell somebody that there's someone who can begin to set us free. This is about evangelization. It's about talking to people about what's going on in their life and drawing them more fully to appreciate and understand their need for a Savior. Even after all these warnings about wealth, I still want to be wealthy. I still want creature comforts. Laugh about it a little bit. Enjoy it. In quotes. But it's a way to begin a conversation with people about our need for the Lord. And then hopefully you can begin to testify, as I'm going to begin to testify, about how the Lord is beginning to help you with this problem. And how does the Lord begin to set us free? You know, the apostles cried out, "It is impossible to be saved. I can't overcome this drive that I have to be wealthy, to be rich, to be comfortable, to be in this world." And even after you tell me all these things, Jesus, about how dangerous wealth is, I can't be free of it. Who can be saved? The apostles cry out in this gospel. And the Lord says, "For man it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Yes, even this wound the Lord can heal. Even this wound. How? Well, brothers and sisters, the truth be told, only God can purify our desires and help us to be willing to renounce everything, to become free of our insatiable desires. I've seen people come to a point in their life where they really were willing to sell everything and go and be with God. I've seen it. And I'll bet you have too. I'll be honest. For most people, it was near the very end of their life, at the point of their death. You know, I've sat at this deathbed of many people. And if they were conscious and could talk, they began to talk like this. "I don't want anything here anymore. I just want to be with God. I'm ready to go home and be with God now." I heard my father speak that way as he was dying in his last months. I heard my grandmother speak that way. She said, "My life here is over. All I want is God. I just want to be with God. Silver and gold. No, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." Little by little, it is painful, but little by little, the Lord helps us to release our grip on this world, to begin to let go of our need to have more and more of these things. My father, who, like me, struggled with his weight all his life, up and down, diet after diet, no effect. Hardly ate a thing for the last 2 months of his life. Even food, which had so occupied his desires, he began to let go of it. Little by little, giving things back. And finally being able to say, "All I want is to be with God." It takes time and even a dying process. But I can say this, church, it doesn't have to wait till our deathbed. And I want to witness and just testify that I still want to be wealthy. I don't mean a zillionaire. What would a priest do with $1 zillion? I'd build another church or something, you know? But I want creature comforts. I want to be comfortable. I want the parish finances to be in good shape. We'll talk about that next week. But little by little, I need less and less of what this world affords. I used to watch hours of television. Not much anymore. A lot of things that I thought I needed, lots more. I don't need many clothes anymore. My closet's largely emptier now. And all the things that I thought I used to need, all these magazine subscriptions, all this stuff. I don't need all that stuff anymore. My life's getting a little simpler. I need less. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you what God is doing. I hope some of you can testify too. Little by little, the Lord is healing this wound. It takes time. It's a deep wound. And it may take my deathbed for you to really hear me say, I really mean it now. All I want is Jesus. All I want. So it is. We've talked about a lot of things about wealth today. It's been kind of quiet in here. We've had a little fun. It's kind of quiet because I think most of us are aware this is deep. This is not something that's just going to go away overnight. Jesus really rocked our world when he said, go sell everything and come and follow me. And I'm not going to take it away. He said it, and he meant it. And you will do it, whether you want to or not. You're going to give everything back. The question is, will you do it with love and faith, or will you do it with resentment, bitterness, and anger? Only that look of love from Jesus can help it be from the best of motives. This has got to be God's work. Only God can pull this one off. So give your life to Jesus today. Come to Jesus. And talk to him about your struggle with this issue. And ask him to continue this work. There's an old song that says, God and God alone. Church, God and God alone created all these things we call our own. From the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. And then my favorite verse, one day, looking to that day when we leave this world behind, no longer enslaving us, no longer holding us back with his empty promises of fulfillment. The text says, God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire, and our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. One day, church, we'll be able to say, all I want is God. God's getting us there. And one day we'll sing in heaven, God and God alone. Amen.